Gospel of John, chapter 11. The words we have been reading. We'll give attention to the words in verse 21. John, chapter 11. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Let's keep our Bibles open. We'll ask for the help of the Lord. O Lord, do draw very near to us. We recognize that the best words that men can utter are utterly vain and futile when it comes to the changing of the heart and the changing of the life. Lord, this is thy work alone. And we pray that thou wilt take up the simple word preached this day. Use it for thy name's sake. Use it for thy glory. May the Lord Jesus have the preeminence in everything. May we not get so preoccupied with our doubts and our fears and the troubles of life with all the mounting pressure that they represent. May we not get so preoccupied with all these things as to lose sight of the Lord, that we feel any longer to hear his voice. That we get to the stage where the Word of God means nothing, where the presence of the Lord is largely lost on us. Oh, make thy presence very real today. Amen. Make the presence of the Lord precious. Make the Word of God even more precious. May we come to rely on that Word, even should heaven and earth appear to be passing away. Whatever it is, Lord, that affects us and disturbs us, whatever it is that would seem to destroy our well-being, may we anchor in that word. O Lord, abide with us. Give the preacher help from the sanctuary. Amen. Give him utterance in the things of God. Give him wisdom more than that which he might ordinarily expect to have. O Lord, grant him to such a degree the anointing of the Holy Ghost with power that Christ the Lord will be lifted up in this place as never before. O Lord, come and minister to us all. Build up the work of God. Build up the people of God. Lord, make us to be more and more in love with thee. Help us to love thy word, to love thy day, to love the fellowship of God's people, to love the house of prayer, so that it is not a matter of compunction or duty, but let it rather be the impulse of the heart and the leading of thy spirit within. O Lord, prompt us that we may follow after thee. We ask that thou wilt have all the praise and all the honor that we can render unto thee. May we love the Lord with all our heart and all our soul, all our strength and all our mind. Lord, give help in the ministry of thy word. We beseech thee in Jesus' name. Amen. As you may appreciate, looking at verse 21, a great deal depends upon a single word. Even a tiny word, like the if. A tiny word like the if in this verse. That holds good with Martha and with Mary. Both these sisters are saying the same words, different places in the chapter. The if means everything to them. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And we may be certain that the Lord gave attention to the if. What I'm saying is, this is a very tiny word. Just two letters. In fact, it's more of a particle than a word. Yet if you think about it in the context of Scripture, here is a word, a particle, that reaches out in many different directions. And if it pleases the Lord, we would like to take a Sabbath or two and meditate upon some of the ifs that are found in the Bible. As I'm saying, this word if reaches out in Oh, many different directions. Quite surprising. On the one hand, it may express a condition, the making of a condition, leading on to a marvelous promise. At another time, it's part of a question, weighted with doubt and with care. There are occasions when it is indicative of scorn and unbelief. There are times in the Bible when the word if is bright with encouragement. Other occasions when it's somber, with foreboding or responsibility. Now, the if that I want to think about today, and we're not going to confine ourselves to the portion in hand, the if that I want to think about today is the if of confusion. For you'll appreciate in the words of Martha, verse 21, when she's saying, Lord, if thou hadst been here, she is in a state of bewilderment. There are things she cannot understand. The love of the Lord for her, for Mary, for Lazarus, she cannot doubt. The fact that the message was sent to him, Lord, come quickly, for my brother is dying. She cannot doubt but that message reached the Lord. And this is where the gap develops. What has occurred? Why has the Lord not come? And she's saying, maybe partly by reproach, if she would dare to come to that length, but certainly in confusion, certainly in bewilderment, these things she cannot understand. When sorrow comes to us, we cannot understand it. When bereavement comes to us, we cannot understand it, and there is a time when we cannot take it in. Sometimes, in addition, we have other matters that we cannot solve. If there has been prayer, special prayer, if there has been encouragement from the presence of the Lord, if there has been some indications from the Lord that lead us to think in other ways, then there is bewilderment, there is confusion, there is a time of testing. And this is what I think we have here. Lord, if thou hadst been with us, my brother would not have died. This is the if of personal tragedy. Now it is right to say the child of God never looks for discouragement. The child of God never looks for sickness or for sorrow, much less for death. It is natural for the child of God, as he goes through life, to expect that everything will go on swimmingly. Every day will bring a new blue sky. There will be no cloud on the horizon. There will be no dark valley. We expect to have the sunshine of which we have been singing already in the service. We do not look for anything to go wrong. Consequently, when it does, we're thrown into bewilderment and confusion. And maybe we create an if, and we put an if on this circumstance or upon another. And we say, now, if only I had been there, or if only I had done this, or if only this had happened, if only we had got there sooner. We have all sorts of ifs that we throw in to the situation. And these ifs, to speak the truth, never do us any good. They may add to the confusion. Sometimes they add to guilt. Guilt that should never attach in the first place. We have all these ifs. Oh, if only we had thought about that. Or if only we had done that more promptly, more quickly. And we have the if to throw in. The child of God needs a wholesome, trouble-free life where tears never come. Both Martha and Mary say in this chapter, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Don't you see that the situation is in this portion that the sisters cannot reconcile the presence of Christ with what they've had to come through? And they're saying, Lord, if you had been with us, if we had had thy presence, this would never have happened. We can be certain of that. Well, it's true in the Gospels that death could not come into the presence of the Lord. But on the other hand, God's people, as a rule, tend to find a difficulty in trying to reconcile the presence of the Lord with them, with their own difficult circumstances, whether it's illness or anxiety or trouble in the family. There are varying situations that can discourage and distress the child of God. And there are some in this congregation who have been fighting a terrible battle with depression. You cannot reconcile the presence of Christ, the presence of the Lord, with all you've had to come through. There are some who cannot reconcile the will of God with the bitter cup of disappointment and grief that they've had to take. But don't you see this? The Lord allows certain things to happen. The Lord allows certain things to occur in our lives to which we cannot readily find an answer. Mary and Martha are assured that the Lord loves them. They have had His presence in their home until their home was like a heaven on earth. And I say, death might have come anywhere else in Bethany, and Mary and Martha would have adjusted to it. Trouble might have come anywhere else in Bethany, and Mary and Martha might have carried it well. In fact, probably they would have ministered comfort to the hearts that were stricken. But you see, they were so anxious to please the Lord, and in a special way, they were so close to the Lord that they could never, never accept that trouble would come to them in the way that it did. Here is a stumbling stone they cannot get over. Lord, if thou hadst been here. But sometimes the Lord lets circumstances occur in our lives whereby we are tested to the extreme. Sometimes the Lord lets events occur in our lives, things that we may be unhappy with, things that may well nigh break our hearts, so that in the long term, in a way that we could not possibly see ahead of time, the Lord Jesus Himself may be magnified. Now it's clear to us in the Gospels how He was going to be magnified in raising Lazarus from the dead. Many in that community would find their hearts completely overwhelmed with the things of God. We read ourselves in the chapter how many turned to the Lord. There were some who did not. You can raise the dead in a most miraculous fashion, and that will not lead us to presume that all the ungodly who see it will turn to the Lord. Some of us have that fanciful notion that if people could see enough of the splendor and glory of the Lord, they would turn to Him. If they could feel the presence of the Lord enough, if they could hear His voice, they would turn on to Him. We imagine that. It's not true for all. There were those in Bethany witnessing at first hand the magnificence of what the Lord had done. But in their hearts they were alienated to the Savior still. And it was the first thing with them to run to the enemy with the information. How sad that is. It would trouble me to think that some in this congregation, now I'm not saying that, yes, there are some like this in the congregation. I would hope
that this would not be the case, but it might be possible for somebody to come in here today. And no matter what the Lord would do in the way of mercy, you would just be as quick and as ready to run to the world as ever. That would trouble me. Don't let the opportunity pass by when the Lord does come into your life and when He does speak. And when you do have His word, do not let that word go. It was for the glory of the Lord that the Savior allowed Lazarus to be sick. It was for the glory of the Lord that the Savior allowed Lazarus to die. And those whom Jesus loves have one day to go to meet Him. Not one of us in this congregation is here forever. That's one if. An if of bewilderment and confusion that we've got in the Scriptures. Go to the Old Testament now, to the book of Judges, chapter 6. Here's a different set of circumstances altogether, but in a way the problem is the same. Once more, we have the if of confusion, the if of uncertainty, the if of testing, the if of bewilderment. Gideon is the speaker. Judges chapter 6. The Lord has appeared unto Gideon. Verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was an Ophrah. Now, everywhere in the Old Testament, as you read off the angel of the Lord, please understand that the reference is to a title of Christ. We're not to form the wrong conclusion about the word angel. We know that most often the word angel refers to a created heavenly being. But the word angel is used in a variety of ways, both in the Old and in the New Testaments. The angel is a title that's used for the ordinary servant of the Lord. In the Old Testament, there is a place where the priest of the sanctuary, the servant of the Lord in the sanctuary, is called the angel. We know in the book of the Revelation, in the seven letters that are found in that last book of the Bible, that the pastor of the church, the angel of the church, is the one who is the recipient of those letters. And this may help you see that the word angel is used in the Bible in different ways. Sometimes, it's true, the angel is the created heavenly being, one who's in the glory, laboring for the Lord. But quite often, the word applies to the messenger of Christ. And in fact, that's what the word angel means. For the word angel has a meaning. The meaning of the word is a messenger. Thus you can see a pastor of the church is a messenger. He's a person entrusted with God's message. And in a sense, if you're carrying the message of the Lord, you're doing the work of the angel. There may be ways in which you'll have to say, I am no angel, but in the strictest sense, you're carrying the message of the Lord. Now, above all else, our Lord Jesus Christ is the angel or the messenger of the new covenant. He is described in the Gospel of John as the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, the messenger, the Word of the Father, as the hymn writer says, now in flesh appearing. He who is the incarnate Word delivers the message of the Most High. Oh, far above pastor and priest and prophet and angel. Christ himself is the messenger of the everlasting covenant. He's the word of the Father. So in the Old Testament, where you find the title, the angel of the Lord, that is a reference to Christ. And you can see that here. Judges 6 and 11. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was an Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord. Gideon is beginning to sense he's in the presence of the Lord. If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. What an if there is in this verse, as the angel of the Lord, even Christ, comes to Gideon and speaks the word of encouragement. If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? How incurably, we go by outward appearance. We go by feeble sense. We judge things by the way they appear, by the signs that we think we have. Don't you sense in this passage that Gideon has the word? The angel of the Lord, the messenger of the Lord, Christ, has spoken, saying unto Gideon, the Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor. Why put an if on it? Isn't the word of the Lord enough? It doesn't matter what the circumstances. It doesn't matter what the anxieties, what the difficulties, what the troubles are. If you have the word of God, listen, that word is not to be doubted. Don't put an if on any aspect of your life when you have the word of God to go forward and to lean in that word. You may be sure the Lord makes no mistakes. The Lord knows what he's doing. And if the time comes when everything seems to fly in the face of what we believe, then all the more we must rest upon the word of the Lord. Recognize this. The Lord takes a delight in hiding himself from the world. He will not allow the world to see what he's doing. And if that is so, then there are occasions when his own believing children are in the same boat, and the Lord may be hiding from you what his purposes are in your life. You may not see the way the Lord is going, but it would be good practice still to pray and say, Lord, I cannot understand these things. I cannot reconcile the circumstances with the promise, but help me just the same. Although everything about me and everything in my life seems to fly in the face of the word of God, help me to hold to that word. There's a verse in one of the hymns in our hymn book, judge not the Lord by feeble sense. That's something that we need to take to heart, because all too often that's exactly what we do. We judge the Lord by feeble sense. We're saying, oh, I have lost the presence of the Lord. The Lord is no longer with me as before. The Lord has given me up. He has thrown me on the scrap heap. Oh, praise the Lord. If you're here in this service now, and the Lord has touched your heart already in the singing and in the time of prayer, in the reading of the scriptures, and now in the message, you can certainly say, I have the word of God. There are other things, true enough, which do not go well with me. But I have His Word, and that is enough.
Oh, rest in that.
If the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? You can sympathize with Gideon. You can sense how his heart is overwhelmed with despair. Everything has gone wrong in the country. Indeed, everything in the country has gone from bad to worse. The country has been destroyed. And there has been no revelation from God. Virtually no message from the Lord. It's true that a prophet has come. It's true there has been a message. But that prophet, although doubtless he spoke with certainty and with power, yet to the world of the day in Israel, those words would be like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. If God sent Moses and sent that man Moses with a message, and if it is said of Moses, and it is, that the people of Israel could not hearken unto him because of the grievous burden, they were so broken, so crushed by the load that they had to carry, that they could not hear the word that Moses brought as they should. Some of you today may not be in the right place with the Lord. The word is sounding forth in your ear. The rich fountain of life is actually in your hand. But you're so overwhelmed with anxiety, and the devil has been battling against you with such effect, that you cannot get to grips with the word. You cannot take the word of God at face value. Listen, take the word of God to heart. Rest your soul, your whole eternity on that word. Don't put an F in. Whatever you do. The F of bewilderment. Gideon couldn't understand it. If the Lord is with us, how come we're in such a terrible situation? Here's a message perhaps that has application to the Ulster situation too. When things are so bad, looking out into the future, when everything has gone wrong, maybe gone from bad to worse, how could the Lord be with us? You can see the logic. You can see how the mind turns over in this direction. We could be saying the same ourselves. But the whole of the land in Gideon's time was swept over by destruction. The enemy had come in like a flood. He was bent on destroying the Lord's people. If the Lord be with us, how could all this have happened? Don't judge the Lord by feeble sense. Don't judge the Lord by the losses you have suffered, by the difficulties you've encountered, by the discouragements you've had to bear, all the trouble you've had to come through. Don't judge the Lord by that. There may be a problem, there may be bewilderment in it. Mary and Martha, and now Gideon, all of these saints of old time, they show bewilderment all right. But the F is not the answer. Take another passage. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. This F is put in the Lord also. The time is the fourth watch of the night. The ship in which the disciples are sailing is in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. The wind was contrary. There was a storm come up. The night was dark. They were very apprehensive. Then the Lord Jesus came walking on the sea in the night, in the midst of the storm, and their hearts are not drawn to him. They were even more troubled when they could see this. I don't know whether they were more afraid of the storm and of the dark, or whether they were more afraid of the apparition that they thought they saw in the waters. They were terrified. They cried out for fear. And the Lord is saying, "It is I. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. I am with you in the storm. I am with you in the darkest hour. I like this, although there is an if in it. Verse 28, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee in the water. If it be thou. He still is in some confusion of mind. And he's saying, Lord, if you are with us, if you're here now in the dark, if you're here now in the midst of the storm, when our lives are in jeopardy, when the ship is near to sinking, Lord, if it is, yourself, if you have come, oh, call me to come now. That's the test. That's the proof. And Jesus Christ says, come. Lord, if it be thou. Are you calling out in the darkness and saying, Lord, if you're with me, speak to me. The Lord's already speaking. You don't need to pray that prayer. You don't need to say, Lord, come and be with me, for he's already there. And Peter throws out the challenge, and the Lord takes up that challenge. Mark chapter 9. There's a poor man at the foot of the Mount of Transfiguration. In verse 22. And he says of his child, Lord, heal my child. Sometimes he has been thrown into the fire by an evil spirit. Sometimes into the waters. The intention is to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Lord, if you can do anything. In all these circumstances that we have looked at from the Bible, the if has been on the Lord. God's people are saying, Lord, if you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. And Lord, if you were really with me, how could all these things have gone so terribly wrong? And another is saying in the midst of the storm, Lord, if it is you, if you are here, tell me to come. And this poor man is heartbroken. The devil has virtually destroyed his own child. And he's saying, Lord, if you can do anything, just do it. But the Lord is putting the F back in him. Verse 23. You see, the Lord, this is what I said at the start. And we're coming now at the close to the point with which we began. The F is very real to the child of God. But the Lord pays attention to the F too. And he says, in effect, you've got the F in the wrong place. You are putting the F on me. The F is really on you. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The F is not on me at all. You can't say, Lord, if you are with me, when I am telling you, I am with you. You have my word. You have the strength of the promise. You're not to doubt me by what you see and feel and think. Oh, are we putting what we see and think and feel into the place of the Word of God? We are. Don't do it. We've come to the close of the service. There's an if, I think, that might serve as a good conclusion. Psalm 124. And this is an if of the difference. For all these ifs that we have been looking at have been ifs of confusion. Mary and Martha, confused, having thought the Lord loved them and wondering now how death could have come. Gideon, being given the promise, the Lord is with thee, and everything going wrong all around him. How could it be? Peter, along with the others in the boat in dark Galilee, in the midst of the storm. Lord, if it be thou, if you're really with us now, speak on. Or the poor man at the bottom of the mountain, Lord, if thou canst do anything. He's in confusion. He has called on the disciples, the best of men, the Lord's servants, and they can do nothing. And they cannot understand it.
No more can they, the if of confusion. But is there an if to answer all these? There is. And the if to answer all these is in Psalm 124. Look at it in your Bible. And this is true not only for Israel, it's true for every soul in this congregation who knows and loves the Lord. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if, and the if is doubled, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's the answer. If it had not been the Lord, you would not be here today. You would not have survived all this while if the Lord had not been on our side. There would be no Ulster at all if it had not been the Lord. The Lord who raised up faithful, gifted preachers, evangelists, soul winners, missionaries. We thank the Lord for all He has done in this province. If it had not been the Lord, there would have been no Ulster to save. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, we're all overcome by infirmities. And we're all guilty, putting in the ifs. The Lord knows it. We're no better than Gideon, Mary and Martha, who walk with the Lord. We're no better. No better than Peter, who's saying in the dark, Lord, if it's really you, if you're really speaking, tell me to come. At least Peter had great faith in the midst of his doubting, and that's paradoxical, but it's true nonetheless. Stick to the word. Rest on that. Peter took the word when the Lord said, come. That was enough. He took the word of the Lord for it. Just one word. And he rested in that. O Lord, speak on today and bless thy holy word. Our time of fellowship to bless us in our lives and help us, Lord, to please thee in everything. Lord, deal with the ifs. Thank you for your tender mercy toward us. You haven't given us up because we have put the ifs in. You've held on to us and kept your hand on us, notwithstanding our limitations. Bless us now, in Jesus' dear name. Amen.